I'm going to read this for the recording, but this is case study number one. Jim had been in full-time ministry in a small church for over 2 years, but moved to a larger city to complete his education. The opportunity was offered to Jim to take an intern position with a large church under an experienced minister named Bob. He felt the experience would teach him how a church of over 1,000 worked. Jim was interested and took the job of 10 hours per week. In the first meeting with Bob, Jim was welcomed, introduced to the outgoing intern, handed a stack of folders a foot thick, and told him he was in charge of ministry involvement, newcomer visitation, and developing a plan for small groups. Bob told him that he had operated from the principle that when the mentoree needed him regarding job responsibilities, the mentoree would need to come to him. To say the least, Jim felt completely overwhelmed and believed he would have little success in his new position. Then we get into the questions. I'll let you take it over.
Okay. I guess I need to do my notes. I thought you were going to do that. That's cool. So who, let's see the number. Is that the number one case study? All right, who had number one? You spread this out. Let's just kind of go through these questions quickly, and let's just see what we learned out of this, and hopefully you were able to go back and look at your notes and kind of figure some of this stuff out. But the whole idea is just to get you thinking in terms of the situations that can happen where it's missed opportunities for mentoring. So what did the mentoree need from the mentor? What did he really need? Somebody just raise your hand, throw it out there. What did he need? Okay.
A new mentor.
That's good. That's exactly right. Well, he needed a mentor. That's what he needed. Just anybody else. What did he really need? What was he looking for? Yes, sir.
We talked about how he needed a lot of clarity. He needed attention. He probably needed a pretty good understanding of the culture because he'd just been introduced to this new culture and doesn't know anything
about it. Hey, Ryan, could you talk into a microphone?
Oh, hey. Look at that.
Yeah, sorry about that. We should have been doing
that.
I'm
doing good. How are you? Good to see you.
Say it again.
We said that he needed a lot of clarity. Mm-hmm. He needed a lot of attention, probably, and he just got thrust into a completely new culture and knew nothing of it, and so would need to have some time where he could really get some understanding of this new culture he's just been introduced into.
Right, exactly. Because he had worked in a small church and never worked in a large church at all, so he didn't know anything. So it was all kind of just handy. I mean, look at the ministry involvement, newcomer visitation, and then develop a plan for small groups. He didn't even know what small groups looked like. But he was given that responsibility with no help. Okay. What else? Anybody else on that? Yes, sir.
Yeah, he was given jobs, and there was no assessment of whether or not he was compatible to do those, in those areas. So there was no personal assessment of the mentor.
Exactly. He needed that. He needed time to figure out if that's what he was suited for. That's good. Good point. Yes, sir. Kyle?
We said a lot of what's already been said, but one thing we had that was different was spiritually, I think he needed to know he was valued as a brother in Christ.
Okay, yeah. Because right, it looked like he was just kind of a warm body, not really a brother. That's good. So, go ahead. Anybody else?
One
what?
Right here.
Okay, go ahead.
It seemed to us that Dave and or Jim... It was there seemed to be little to no actual personal connection.
Mm-hmm.
The phrase was, you know, contact me basically if you need to.
Right.
So we thought that the intern or the mentor needed to have a connection both on a ministry level, a professional level, but also on a spiritual level, discipleship level, that kind of thing.
All those things we've talked about, right. Let's move on to the next question. What did the mentor provide?
Files.
I'm sorry?
Files.
Yeah. Okay, let's get you a microphone. Okay.
We just put he provided material, but it's not really effective without practical application.
Right.
So he didn't really know what was going on.
This mentor is very cognitive, wouldn't you say? Very intellectual. Very much the professor type. Preaching minister, so it was all cognitive for him. Read it, figure it out, do it, talk to me if you got any problems. Didn't work for me. I'm very experiential. Yes, sir.
Yeah, we don't want to totally dump on him, but he did give him one positive. He welcomed him, but other than a welcome, he basically provided him with a ton of work that might not have meant anything to him at that point, which he had to decipher through all on his own. So that's what he did provide him with.
Yeah, we don't want to dump on him. That's right. Well, there is a happy ending to this story. Let me go ahead and give you the happy ending. I'm going to tell you who it is because he hates for me to tell this, but he allows me to tell this. It's Harold Shank, who used to be the preaching minister at the Highland Street Church of Christ. And he was one of the guys who went through my D-Men project to learn how to mentor. And he went on to mentor several good preaching ministers. So that's the happy ending of this story. He saw the need, but it just, you know, even in his life, he had not really come in contact with what he came to understand is real mentoring. And so that's the happy ending to this story, okay? It was interesting that I was his summer intern, and then 4 or 5 years later came back around and helped him to understand what mentoring is about. And that's what, I mean, that's how your mentorees will come back sometimes and help you develop, and it should be a kind of a, what they call a symbiotic relationship at some point. Next question, anybody else on that? Okay, I'm going to skip number 3. Did y'all look at the mentoring types or functions? That was the Clinton thing I threw on the overhead. You may not have had those. Number four, how could covenanting have helped in this mentoring relationship? How could have writing some agreements and goals, how could that have helped?
One of the things my group said is just providing structure and a clarification structure of expectations on the front end of like, here's, you know, and it kind of provides a way to evaluate things too.
Well, it starts a discussion. I mean, if you start covenanting, say, well, Anthony, I need you to do this and this. And I say, well, I don't know anything about this. Hopefully that will lead to let me mentor you in that. Anything else? Which of the 3 goals of mentoring were not discussed, You remember those goals?
None.
Okay, that's an easy answer. So what characteristics of a healthy, unhealthy...
None.
Yeah, okay. You got it. You got the point.
Number 7, none.
None.
How would you proceed? What do you think that those supervisor conferences, relationships, what did it look like in this situation? I'm glad you got it, man, because it is. It's all nose. This guy, Harold hates for me to tell this, but he allows me.
I think Jim would be probably just as afraid to tell him that he didn't know how to do what it was he asked him to do as he would to actually start to do it.
So right.
It would just, the whole thing would just start from tension and confusion.
Yeah, and it was. Well, I was Jim, okay? So I want you to know that, and that was Harold. So anything else on this one?
One more right here.
Okay, go ahead.
It would have seemed to me like this would have been more of a progress report. How much of that folder did you get done?
Mm-hmm.
What are your statistics? You know, it would be,
right.
We said it would be very brief and superficial and almost kind of like a waste of time.
Yeah.
Not really any kind of mentoring going on. So it's just a progress report.
You just accurately described what happened. That's exactly how it happened. Come in. Okay, what did you get done? What do you need help? I mean, is there anything you need to know? Boom. Off to doing it again. Yes, sir.
We just talked about how we thought it would just be really frustrating for both of them in that meeting because the mentor would feel like this person didn't do anything that I asked him to do, and the mentoree would be like, you never told me how to do anything.
Right.
And it would just be one of those situations where they would both leave frustrated at each other and, you know, for, yeah, like he said, kind of a waste of time.
Right. Well, let me tell you how it happened. I was enough of an achiever that I did do a lot of things that Harold asked me to do, but it was a 10-hour internship. I spent 35 hours a week getting it done. You see the difference, guys? With a little bit of mentoring, I could have accomplished all those things in 10 hours, well, or at least made a stab at them. It was sort of like this. He said, man, you need to learn how to do a bulletin article. I want you to do a bulletin article. Well, I'd never really done that for that level of church involvement. I mean, I'd written some articles and things, but this was a highly educated, and I had education, but I was just nervous about it. It took me 3 hours to write a bulletin article. And then finally I just said, look, I don't know how to do this. I'm taking too much time with this. And then he sat down with me and taught me how I could write a pretty good bulletin article in about 20 minutes. You know, it was just, and I said, Harold, this is what I need. Sit down and talk with me. Tell me how to do this. Help me to process this. Give me some things to think about. And then that kind of went, you know, that started the road to him learning more about mentoring. Next case study.
Yes, and I'm just going to read it for the recording.
Okay.
Starting out, did you have something else to say?
No, okay, before we get into it.
Elder Dave wants to find Wednesday night Bible teachers who will lead group discussions, not lecture. Elder Dave has noticed Will's desire to serve and lead in positive ways. Elder Dave approaches Will with Robert Oglesby's Group Dynamics and asks him to read it. Will reads it, learns things he hadn't considered. He was excited but didn't know what to do with what he'd learned. Elder Dave visited Will a few weeks later and asked him what he thought of the book. Will expressed his excitement about what he'd learned. Elder Dave handed him a group discussion book. I want you to start teaching in 3 weeks on Wednesday night, and I'll be there with you. Will had seen Elder Dave teach effectively and wanted to learn from him. The first night, Elder Dave introduced Will as the teacher in training who would lead him, who would lead them later. Will was nervous, but taught the first class with only a few glitches. Elder Dave got together with Will after to talk about the experience. How he did this for 6 weeks and then let Will have the class. Elder Dave assured Will that if he needed any help, he would be available. At the end of the class, Elder Dave processed the experience with Will. Elder Dave continued to mentor Will, who went on to teach several Bible classes and serve in a variety of ministry function or settings.
All right. So what did the mentoree need from this mentor? Yes.
We thought he needed somebody to help him realize his potential and what he could do, because it says that he had noticed him leading in some positive ways, but I don't think that they quite realized what was going on. So he needed some guidance in developing his potential.
Okay, good. And that's what Dave did. He saw the potential, and then he gave him an opportunity to see if that potential could be brought out, at least in this particular way, and it happened. Good. Anybody else? What did he need? What did the mentor need? Okay.
Tim.
Mentoree need, I should say.
We had several, but along with guidance, we had that he needed confidence.
Yeah.
From the mentor, and he needed the opportunity to serve.
Yeah. So he needed to be affirmed in ministry and then an opportunity to let that affirmation be played out, and that's exactly what Dave. This was Dwayne. Actually, it was Dwayne Legg, an elder in the Anchorage Church of Christ, and my first name's William, so I took the name Will. So anyway, it was me. And that was one of the most positive experiences that sent me down the road to going into ministry, because he affirmed me. That's a good point. That's so important that you affirm your mentorees. You're going to find out what their weaknesses are. Brother Yakeley and I were talking about that. We often so often focus on the weaknesses of the folks that we're trying to mentor, when we need to look at four or five things and say, look, you're doing this well, you're doing it right, and affirm them. And then let them keep working on those things. But they need that affirmation. That's good. What did the mentor provide? What did he provide?
In this setting? Up here. I got you.
We felt like he provided the opportunity to express his talents. And he also provided material to help him grow in what he thought it was his strengths. And he also gave him practical applications to the things he was learning. Because I talked about how he was excited about what he was learning, but he didn't know really what to do with it.
Right.
And so he gave him practical ways to implement it.
Okay. What was one of the biggest things we've talked about throughout this whole last couple of 3 hours of talking about mentoring? What was the one thing that Elder Dave did with Will that probably made the biggest difference? I mean, all those things are good, but what was the thing that Dave did, this elder did, that was so crucial to the success of this experience? He processed him along the way. He sat with him. He talked, I'll meet with you, I'm available. So he kind of gave him both sides. He said, I'll meet with you, but I'm also available. Come talk to me. So he got both, because sometimes the mentoree really needs to take the initiative to say, look, I need some help. You know, and they need to know that when they get there, the mentor is ready to help. So it worked both ways. Which of the three goals of mentoring were or were not discussed? Do you remember those? Did you go back and look those up? Yes, sir.
Do you see got them right here?
For number three, we put sponsor.
Okay, number three. Yeah, he did sponsor.
And then to integrate educational experience with ministry.
Okay.
The second one.
Yeah, that's good. All right. What about those goals? Any of those goals of mentoring? Anything on that? Anybody look at that? Yeah. Don't be afraid. Go ahead. Anything. We're just talking here. These two guys here were trying to work out who's going to talk. Yeah.
Who got it?
Come on, guys. What is
the
On the wrong question. Well, let's answer the question. Which one are you on? Number five? Okay, let's look at that. What characteristics of a healthy, unhealthy relation, supervisor relationship did Dave exhibit? Go ahead. That's good. Let's skip on down.
Well, he gave him a lot of freedom after he had started to just do it on his own, and then which also entailed some trust on the elder Dave's part. So,
one of the things that was able Dave was able to, I mean, well, it's Dwayne Legg. He watched me for a while. He noticed. He looked at what I was doing. Okay, it wasn't like I showed up and he said, here, teach this class. He had been noticing some of the things that I had been doing in ministry and say, let me stretch this guy. Let me stretch him a little bit. Everybody's laughing. Did I say something stupid? I'm very capable. But that's good. Good. All right, any other characteristics of a healthy, unhealthy supervised relationship that this mentor exhibited? Anything else on that? You remember the stages of supervisor relationship? Okay. Which of those did he do or not do? Go ahead. Right here. Come on, guys. Let's just talk up. Yeah, you'll be next.
We had that he really heavily did the I minister, you watch, we talk. And then you minister, I watch, and we talk. And then a little bit, I guess, find another after he took over the class.
Right. And he encouraged me to do that, to get somebody. Yeah. But also, he you know, there was the initiative stage, the initiation of him. He had the task. He did that. And then there was closure.
Yes, I didn't see where the closure was.
Well, he continued to mentor Will, who went on to teach several Bible classes. The closure was the end of the class. And actually, I probably didn't put that in here, but he met with me at the end of the class and say, how did it go? Like, we wrapped this up, and let's get on to doing some more. So it was really good. It was an excellent experience. Well, what do you perceive a supervisory conference like this would be in this situation? What do you think that looked like for me as I met with Dwayne Legg? What do you think it looked like? What was it about? Somebody. Okay. Ricky. Ricky's talkative today. That's a good thing. The rest of y'all wake up.
I feel like it was probably talking about how you, like, you're leading the Bible class, right? How you felt about what you were doing and what were the goals or how you're going to do better, you know? Probably a much more dialogue and very little monologue.
That's right, exactly. A lot of talking back, a lot of just asking questions. I would imagine if it's more over the top and authoritarian, is that right? There's going to be more talking from the mentor's side than discussion from the mentoree's side. And he just basically asked me a lot of questions to help me to grow within myself and to start take on the responsibility for my own growth in this. And then he was able to cut me loose, and I just checked back with him when I had a question. See, he mentored me well to be able to go on and do what God had called me to do in this, and then he was always there, and he would check on me every once in a while. So what qualities did the mentoree exhibit? This is not about me, it's just the story. Okay?
Well, I feel that the mentoree exhibited willingness to take part, mainly because he desired to serve and lead in positive ways, and thus given the possibilities laid out in front of him to teach this class, I feel that he was very willing to do so. That's a wonderful quality I see that he had. He had excitement over what he learned from the book. He didn't just skim through the book and go, okay, I get the melee outline from it. No, he delved into it, looked into it, learned new things, and was excited about it. Not only that, but I feel that the mentoree was also open to progression. It didn't just go to that class and stay there. It wasn't static. It was dynamic. It went along to teach several Bible classes and serve in many ministries. Mm-hmm. So he was a widespread. He wasn't just static. He wasn't one-lined. He was a highway, so to say.
Right. That's good. Yeah, that experience actually opened the door for me to expand into all kinds of different areas of ministry to help me to be where I am now. So I credit that particular experience This one with Dwayne Legg, actually, is opening me right into ministry. The one with Harold helped me to know that mentoring can be better. And so, you know, the one's negative, one's positive, but you allow those experiences to transform you and, I guess, jet you forward into something better and new. And that's what these experiences did. Any other comments or questions about these two case studies? I hope they've been helpful. What's our time like? We want to have any questions or comments? I know we've talked a long time here.
We're about out of time.
Okay, any last question or comment? Anything that you want to say? Let me just read these two scriptures to you very shortly, very quickly, I should say. And please, mentors, find mentorees. Let God find them for you. And some of you guys who are wanting to do campus ministry or any type of ministry, please find a mentor. You don't have to get out there and flounder around, because I believe this scripture holds true today, just like it did 2,000 years ago, that Jesus will come to you, whether you're a mentor or a mentoree, and he'll say, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And when you become, when you're a mentoree and then you become the fisher of men, then become like Paul, where he said, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men, and I'll just add in women, who will also be qualified to teach others. That's the call. Let's answer that in campus ministry. I can't wait to see what God is going to do in campus ministry when we mentor those folks and the next generation rises up. And how many campuses are there, Wes? 2,000? 2,000 campuses? We're going to move from 200 to 2,000. In the next two or three generations. And the way that'll happen is if we pass those batons off very well. Let's pray. God, we love you and we praise you. Thank you for how that Jesus has mentored us and how the Holy Spirit watches over us and guides and leads us. And Father, how that you're a good Father who leads us and cares for us, sustains us and provides for us. Lord, you do not leave us to ourselves. Help us to get the point, Lord, that we've tried to learn this weekend. And that is that we should not leave these young students, our mentorees, to themselves, Lord. You do not leave us that way. Lord, help us to mentor those you bring to us. And Lord, we pray that there'll be just an explosion of new campus ministries and churches related to that and new campus ministers. Lord, just do it. We know you're capable. Help us to surrender and submit to you so that this can happen. Lord, we love and we praise you in Jesus' name. Let's all say together. Amen.